You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I don't think that we have ever started a Greg Cody Tuesday quite this way, where he's coming in a bit rattled, I would say, because Hee Haw 3 has taken off. He has now declined tour dates.
Wow.
Hee Haw 3 had a paid gig as musicians to tour, expenses paid, turned it down. They're too busy. They're not accommodating requests right now. Greg Cody's in high demand. And he wants his intellectual property, and he's caused a problem at the company, and he doesn't understand the problem he's caused. We'll get to that in a second. He's confused.
You're talking in riddles. I don't cause problems. I solve them.
Right. All right. Well, David Sampson insists on coming on because he says you've, like, violated company policy.
Known problem solver.
David Sampson. What's his title with the company?
Right. Good question.
Well, he runs the merch store.
Does he?
Yeah.
Like, is there an apron on, and like he's a salesman in a retail store? How does that work exactly?
You have salesmen in retail stores wearing aprons.
Yeah,
Home Depot. Aprons. Yeah.
Home
yeah,
Depot, and Macy's.
An orange apron, right? Yeah. Of course, bring back retail.
Macy's?
Yeah, Macy's, like the you know, perfume counter. They have aprons and stuff.
Right.
They
the put cosmetic.
Exactly right.
They sure do.
What's wrong with cosmetics?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with aprons?
Exactly right.
All right. So, but he doesn't understand that part of it. That's one thing you don't understand. Okay. He also doesn't understand that I told him before the show, there is something your son did last week that was very wrong, and you would have been proud of it.
Wow. That's hard to believe. What is it? What'd you do, kid?
I took time off.
As the guy...
He had to go to New York.
But let me tell some people the backstory. He had to go to New York. Mike Ryan had just left his position as executive producer. Company was in a lurch. One day to the next, Chris Cody shouts, "Hey, got to go to New York!" And everyone's learning of it, and the company goes into a ditch with your son in charge.
I'd call it 1 week to the next, but you can call it one day to the next.
Well, it was a problem. It created a problem for the executive producer who had left with much fanfare, getting his father's music career off the ground. And 3 days later, Mike Ryan's stuck in the same job he's always in because Chris Cody shirked his responsibilities to go to New York.
But Chris Cody is back, and Mike Ryan's still here.
He's still here. Is that Mike or is that a hologram? Mm-hmm.
Sounds like great leverage for Chris. He left for 2 days, and everything fell into a ditch.
Right.
I mean,
and that's, at some point, it's a you problem if this
this is the guy you're looking at to hold everything together. I mean, yeah. Look at this.
Washington.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. He does look like George Washington today, but that's not George Washington. It's Larry David.
And what?
Yes. It's. I mean, it's,
pretty.
It's a good Larry David.
Pretty
it's
decent.
It's visually funny, and I was about to come in here today in rage because nobody did the costumes. I've got Nacho Libre under my arm, and I'm like, nope, why will no one pay their punishments? I come in furious, and I ask Stu Gatz, does he have to pay any punishments? And they say, nope, he's all paid up. He kept getting the golden helmet. He owes nothing. All his punishments are paid. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's paid like 3 in 5 years. One time he's just put on a sweatshirt like Rocky, like he doesn't pay any of his punishments.
You got the costume. I was Rocky that day, yes.
All paid up. Stu Gatz is all paid up. I come in here, Nacho Libre, and as I'm ready to yell at Chris Cody, like, hey, who's in charge, Chris? Chris, are you in charge? Child of nepotism. You can't skip work when we need you to be executive producer as we're trying to figure out who the executive producer would be. And this part, Greg Cody, should offend you as an old-timey businessman. If we opened up the job of executive producer to this show, to the media crumbling around us, to anyone in the United States, the line would stretch from here to Dallas on people who want to sit in that seat to run the show so that they could come after Mike and respect all the things we've built around here. Your son flew to New York to do what? To do what? Something that made Stu Gatz proud, which is not the way Meadowlark should be run.
He did what he had to do, Dano. He did what anyone in his situation would have done.
Okay, so explain this part to the audience. Explain this part. No, because I found out about this, and this is the doubly offensive part. Doubly offensive. While executive producer, he's flying to New York because he's got, I mean, this is very Miami, because he's got to go see about some cash.
Cash.
Because he's the big winner when it comes to a pool of people.
Yeah, $500 pool. Like, I mean, yeah, you're making a little something out of nothing here.
Yeah, you know, a little bit just to get some cash.
$500 means more to some people than you, Dan. Like,
right.
You don't even have to report that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd report $500 if I was you.
I mean, I report every cent.
Same here.
All right, so
we've said too much.
Does everyone? No, not enough. Not quite enough yet. No, because this is my predicament, Greg Cody, who spawned this child of nepotism over here, who just stumbling his way into executive producer.
Right. Anytime you need somebody to fill in as the executive producer, I'm there for you. I just, you know,
I would love.
I would love for you to be our executive producer. I really would.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Teach me how to run the board and press what buttons when, and I'm there.
Please try this, Dan. I mean,
you think so? You guys think that would go well?
Yeah.
Lucy's saying yes. Put Greg Cody in charge as executive producer today.
Yeah.
Switch seats.
Just show me where the Hakeem's laugh button is, and I'm good. That's all I need to know.
Try to find that
thing. You think that seat's easy?
No, I'm kidding, of course. It's very difficult. Christopher makes it look easy, and he's got big shoes to follow in Mike Ryan. What size shoe do you wear, Mike?
12.
Yeah, see? Big shoes to follow.
Mike, where are you on all of this? Because I brought this to air against your will. I didn't mean to do this to you, but I'm, you know, storming in.
We talked about it before. I said I didn't want to, and you still did it. So you didn't mean to. The very definition of you meaning to is premeditated. I don't want to discuss it because I was genuinely hurt by it. I found out that I was sitting in that chair, a chair that I thought I said goodbye to a week prior. I found out about it the night before.
Yeah.
I had a babysitter. I had to cut my night short because I found out as a surprise Chris Cody was off to New York doing something that I think he probably could have done during the weekend and not miss shows. But that's okay. Like, that's his prerogative. I'm not here to PTO shame. I think I was more hurt than anything because I've spent 18 years trying to build that position into something desirable, and we haven't prioritized looking outside for a candidate. We're hoping that someone internally ascends and wants it, and
like Greg,
to have a situation where I'm being surprised that I have to sit into it because the communication is such that someone decides, and I understand why, it's a solid reason, but I would have thought that chair meant more, so I was a little hurt by it.
You just got to check the schedule a little bit more.
I did.
It was
check
not the day before.
No, I found out about it the day before because there was an email on Sunday that had talent schedule, and I came in on days that I wasn't scheduled for. I had to cancel meetings, but it's fine. But at the heart of it, I was just genuinely hurt that this wasn't being treated as the opportunity I thought it would be after all the hard work that I put into it.
Chris, it seems like you told somebody, though, right? Like someone before, you know, the night before you left. Like you told someone a week ago. They didn't.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
Was
they
it
didn't communicate it to Mike.
Was
right.
it what? I think it's not the issue that.
The week before was Super Bowl week. It was crazy. Okay. We're all coming back. Everyone's drunk for 3 days.
Yeah, the communication, like whatever. I found out the night before I cut my night short. That's fine. That's not a big deal. To me, the part that hurt was this is an opportunity. And it's not being treated as such.
The opportunity to replace someone that isn't gone.
Or go pick up some quiche.
Well, it was a good excuse.
Okay, but no, this part of it.
I mean, if you want to do the theater of the mind stuff, like we know what's going on here. And I think it's a pretty cool opportunity. And sure quite is. Honestly, like I was hurt by it. And now I'll just prioritize looking at outside candidates.
Oh. But child of nepotism here is in charge today, and he does look like George Washington. You do look more like a founding father than Larry David, right? And is it the size of your jowls? Is that what's happening here? I don't.
Ooh.
Is that it's more George powdered Dubb? More powdered wig than cul-de-sac?
You tell me what it is, man. I looked in the mirror and I just like ran away. I was like, nope, don't like this.
Generally, when you impersonate a Larry David, you do it without a beard.
You got to shave. Go shave.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Commit.
Got to go all the way on an impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, why were you laughing at Greg as he limped into the studio?
Laugh is, you know, I don't know that that's the right word. Greg's injured. He's playing hurt today. He hurt his knee. It's not my place to put his business out there, but I heard what happened, and it sounded like a trying tale of what happened, how he hurt himself. And, you know, did I giggle maybe the way he described it? Possibly, but... You know, we should be commending him for not just being here playing hurt, but also volunteering to step in his son's absence on the days his son can't be in that chair.
Lucy.
If anything, he's a great team player
here.
That I feel like, if I understood right what's going on here, he's being set up to be massacred shortly by David Sampson, which I don't understand. I really don't.
I don't massacre easily.
Yeah.
I'm taller than Sampson.
Yeah.
I could beat him in arm wrestling. He doesn't intimidate me.
Really?
He's a nice dresser, though.
It's going to be a physical fight. Really? A physical fight?
I would like the idea of whatever this dispute comes down to being settled by an arm wrestling contest. I feel like that's fair.
Samson's a rabid spider monkey.
What?
He will climb up your arm and he will break your arm in pursuit of the things that he wants.
He's never broken an arm.
He could beat me in a marathon.
You think you could beat David Sampson in arm wrestling?
Did you not see what happened to A.J. Burnett?
Pierce Nichols, A.J. Burnett.
Not surprising. Arm wrestled Samson?
If you said to me, baseball player from your past that has Pierce Nipples, AJ Burnett, first name.
Yeah.
Why would anyone say that to you?
It'd be a weird thing to say, but it'd be the first name I'd say back.
You would have an answer, though.
I don't know.
If it came up.
Like, how would that come up? Exactly.
Number two, Dallas Braden.
Someone comes up to George Washington and says, name a baseball player, Pierce Nipples.
It would be weird. Like, why would someone do that? You're walking down the street as George Washington, and someone comes to you aggressively and says, name a baseball player, Pierce Nipples, and you go straight to the 90s, A.J. Burnett.
A.J. Burnett.
It's a random category right there.
Is there a Hall of Fame here? Why are you thinking about these things?
It's a Jeopardy category.
I think it's the tattoos. It connotes nipple ring.
If Jeopardy ever has a category of baseball players with pierced nipples,
how great would
things
that
have fallen off.
AJ Burnett would be like 100.
Daily double.
I don't understand what you're doing, though.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
That's how it's going to end. The mailing it in end of the retirement, Chris, go get me this, is just going to be him coming out and hitting the one or two notes of that kind of thing, and you know it, that's and then right. Just giving us finger guns and leaving.
Baby.
You should listen to the Greg Cody Show podcast, because that's all we do for 55 minutes a week is just say catchphrases. We even make songs about them. And you know it is a song. for crying out loud. That's great. Hopefully that's a Suey nominee for best song. And you know it, baby, and you know it.
Stugatz.
And you know it, baby, and you know it. And you know it, baby, and you know it. And you know it, baby, and you know it.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Speaking of, I just want to explain to the audience something, Stugatz, because some people here who have listened to us nationally might not know the story of the Florida Panthers and Steve Goldstein and when a voice for a team becomes really a voice for a team during a cool time. Somebody who, when you're hearing his enthusiasm on calls, many of you who grew up with him in the Panthers organization are hearing your emotion carried with him, and you've watched for long enough to see him become a really excellent broadcaster, like sculpt the skill. Hockey's tough, man. That is a fast sport. And he is clean. No one's got any objections to how Steve Goldstein has mastered his craft, and he's done it 20 years in this market, as hockey has been like a pretty shitty thing for most of those years. And to see him carry that call, let's get that call for Roy and Mike, because they weren't here yesterday when we played it the first time. What a cool moment at the end of this Washington game, not just to have it end this way when you know you've got the best team. They're playing all the most fun hockey. Everyone in the sport hates them, but they're exciting, and now they're yours. And the call's coming to you from a grassroots broadcaster who's flying down the ice with you and taking your enthusiasm with him.
Milano, stripped away by Gustav Forsling. Milano again, stripped away by Sam Bennett. The Panthers try to win it. It's Bennett. It's Forsling. Let's go home, baby. Gus wins it in overtime.
It's musically perfect because of all the history it carries down the ice with it.
The other thing that Goldie does, and he does it so well, because you mentioned he's been calling games for this team, and this team has been lousy for a long time, and Goldie's been right there for it. So what you're hearing in his voice the last couple of years is a guy who has been there with you, with the fans, through the down times, and now is having a blast calling games for this team, because this team is fun, they're young, they're exciting, and he gives that off with every single broadcast.
But he comes from old-timey sports radio in this market when all these guys were kids, and they all grew up with him in this market. Like, it's hard to get out of this market into the national mainstream, and he's done it because he's excellent, and the enthusiasm around this team is real. And I was just curious, with Roy and with Mike, you hear that and feel what?
Even before he got the Panthers gig, I worked on his weekend show at 7:00. I had the ticket. This is back when he had hair. He had hair at the time. So to see him, so to see him making these highlight calls like this is just like,
it's like watching your kid grow up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's
did you just become Goldie's dad somehow? Like, what's happening here?
I remember when I saw a young goalie every Saturday morning on Sports Bang, and I said, this guy's destined for greatness.
I mean, Roy has been a local observer of Miami sports media more than most, I think. Like, that he's actually viewed Goldstein's career from the bowels of next to Stugatz in sports radio.
Literally worked with him. I recall when I was a wet behind the ears high school graduate that attended a job fair hosted by the Florida Panthers and then became a sales intern, hopped up on AIM Instant Messenger and New Metal, going to what at the time was the NCRC and seeing Steve Goldstein, who at the time was just an in-arena host giving out-of-town updates, and he would just always be around. He was a grinder that wanted that job from pretty close to the franchise's inception. He's really worked on his craft. He's improved, made a lot of leaps, has also in recent years added a signature call that you've seen there. He's a testament to hard work in this market, because that is very much just hanging around and grinding. He has survived several different administrations over there at the Florida Panthers.
Nobody survives all of those administrations. Like, nobody does. It's hard for... Look, forgive me, Mike. You know that organization better than I do, but there's so much turnover there through ownerships that there's always a new grift in town coming to try and make that franchise work. and the last crew now has the best crew, and they're trying to build something different. This is not an organization of lifers. One of the things I want to point out about last night, like the Heat win again, okay, Stugatz on the road, four in a row. They do it at Sacramento, and Bam says to everybody, nah, Sabonis, like, no, I'm better at this than you are. The Heat, with whatever they throw at you, do something that is taken for granted in this market. They always matter. Sacramento, look at their past. They're never any good. You don't get to go through administrations always being relevant. When Stephen A. Smith is going back and forth with the Pelicans and he's saying, in 22 years, you guys have won two playoff series. Like, it is hard to do what the Heat do with whoever it is that they have. And I'm watching the Panthers come into this sphere and be something exciting from Broward that's different, but that's not a crew of lifers. That's not a crew like the Heat's crew is a Heat
crew.
Well,
on the broadcast, certainly they are. Moeller and Goldstein, I would dub as Panther lifers. Red Deer was brought in very early on in the franchise history. Goldie was around for decades at this point. So the broadcast team has absolutely grown up with you, and I think that they do.
On both teams, by the way.
A franchise that has so little history, at least in the broadcast booth, you have people that you know have been with this franchise for the vast majority of their professional careers, and they truly love it. And it shows in the broadcast, I think.
Greg Cody get moved by this stuff?
I do. Goldstein has paid his dues in this market, worked his way up, and I want the voice of my team to be honest at all times. Like when the team sucks, I want the play-by-play guy or the voice of the team to reflect that, to reflect how the fans are feeling. And right now the Panthers are the best they've ever been and the best in the league. And I want a Homer voice at this time in Panthers history. I want that.
You want Steve Goldstein.
Yes, I want that because it reflects how great this team has become.
Did Goldie die?
No.
I just thought it was a cool call.
Yeah.
Great call.
Let's 2 days, home, baby. Forcing to bounce back from that injury, so cool.
He has a great hockey voice. Yeah. He does.
Chucky's back tonight, by the way.
Nothing worse than watching a hockey game with a guy calling the game who doesn't have a great hockey voice.
He doesn't have this classic hockey voice, though.
No.
He's got a very unique voice for play-by-play, especially in that sport. And he is a South Florida guy. So it's really cool. And I think he's risen to the level of getting close to national prominence. Yeah. I've seen over the last few years him get the occasional national gig.
He's called multiple Olympics on the radio.
Yeah.
Am I missing something
Goldie's
here?
Gang.
Doesn't when you ask about Steve, you're asking about an accent. There's some New York in his accent.
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's been down here in South Florida for, 30-plus years at this point?
But to be a voice in hockey, there aren't that many of them, right? These are cool broadcasting jobs. Like, I don't know if people have been noticing also locally, Jorge Sedano is now learning the craft of how to do play-by-play all over the place because he wants to be versatile as the media changes. Like, to ride one of these rockets as a broadcaster, you get to go along for the ride in a way that also helps you economically. More people are hearing you. They're listening to your story. They start to know your story. You develop a connection with the team. Oh, this guy rides with them from there, the same way Eric Reed rides with the Heat from back there, where he slices Doc Rivers the other day with, it's a lot easier talking under the headsets, Doc Rivers, as you coach the Bucks, giving your opinions. Eric Reed saying that slices more because you know it's a voice that is courteous and decent, but also just slaughterhouse Homer. Like slaughterhouse Homer. Like, okay, we're going to ride this. And, oh, you don't like our team? We'll ride the magical carpet ride of Eric Reed and Steve Goldstein are going to gallop into the galaxy being Homerific for the rest of your lives.
Unless you're Trip Tracy of the Carolina Hurricanes, who wants to celebrate Matthew Tkachuk getting yanked from a game because of injury. Disgusting display. And his apology, if you can call it that, wasn't really one at all. He set a really bad example for the youth of America.
Hockey broadcaster.
Yeah, well, I got the memory of an elephant, Mr. Tracy.
Wow. Stugatz once called Mike Greenberg Goldie.
I like that idea, Goldie. Greedy. I like the idea. I have a friend named Goldie. I called you Goldie.
kind of a name is Trip.
I can't believe we smuggled that sound away from ESPN that it wasn't so valuable to them.
I do like that idea, Goldie. Goldie, I like the idea. I have a friend named Goldie. I called you Goldie.
That's our intellectual property. We smuggled it away. That's Stu Gatz on ESPN.
Why did I stop and explain?
Goldie.
Because you couldn't believe you were tap dancing with Goldberg. Those were the heights. Those were the heights of
I was tap dancing with Greeny. That's a fun
Goldberg.
Goldberg.
A lot going on there for you, Dano.
The hammer.
Hammer time.
I do like that idea, Goldie. Goldie. Greeny. I like the idea. I have a friend named Goldie. I called you Goldie.
Kicked Bret Hart in the head, ended his career.
Yeah. Reckless wrestler, it appeared.
Bill Goldberg.
Fake Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I love, my favorite thing in pro wrestling is how much Bret Hart hates Bill Goldberg. He even insists on calling him Bill Goldberg because he knows he hates that instead of just Goldberg. Got kicked in the head by Bill Goldberg. Cost me $17 million.
What's the matter, Dan? You got Hank confused with Greeny, Goldie confused
Yes, that's what's the matter. That's all.
It happens,
that,
man.
I know, but that's so I've got a fine on Goldberg.
$35. I counted 7 fines. Are you really digging into your wallet? You still have a wallet. Look at you.
So, Greg, you're about to go up head-to-head with Samson in a couple minutes, right? Are you prepared? Like, what, Dan, what advice can you give him? Because I feel like he's being set
Billy,
up for a blindside.
Help me out.
You
here.
Know Thank what's you, going Billy. On, but Greg doesn't. Right. You have the information here.
No, you're leading him to a slaughter. I don't know what's going on. I've asked Chris. Samson's insisted on coming on because we've got a legitimate problem on our hands, and I don't know the depths of it. Chris, do you? Because Samson insists on coming on to talk to Greg about it on air.
I just got a text. I need to come on tomorrow. It's business.
Wow.
And nothing personal.
He didn't even say nothing personal. He was just like, business, got to talk to your dad.
Wait and
see. I
was
like, okay, 927. Like, I don't know more than that.
Why don't you just call him? Like, you guys could call each other.
I don't know what the allegation is. I have no idea.
Greg, I will say this. Regardless of the allegations, I side with you.
Thank you.
Okay?
I appreciate that.
I don't need a single detail. I side with Greg Cody.
Thank you.
Can we decide this based on vote?
I think
if not arm wrestling, can votes decide how this ends? It is election season, Dan.
Sure, but what is that going to prove to anybody?
I mean, nothing. You're in charge, so we just ask you, can we decide it via votes?
I mean, it depends on what the accusation is.
Yes.
John Rocker would also be on my list.
Huh.
Pierce Nipples?
Score major comfort with the new Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles. Imagine this. Fabric so soft, it feels like you're practically wearing nothing. Now that's next level softness. Whether you're storming the court, conquering the workday, or just chilling on the couch, Hanes Original Super Soft Styles have you covered, literally, in soft, cooling comfort. And let's not forget the style. These sleek designs and colors won't just keep you feeling great, they'll have you looking like a champion. So ditch the discomfort and upgrade your game with the new Hanes Original Super Soft Styles. They're soft, they're cooling, they're everything. Try Hanes' softest fabric ever at hanes.com/originals. Use discount code DANLB20.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Don Lebatard.
I miss crank windows. Too many unnecessary conveniences now, cruise control. Please, I've got cruise control built in. It's called my right foot. It controls how fast the car goes. No button or steering wheel lever needed. Power steering. There's another one. Why do I want to give my power to the car? The power that I once had. The car is a ton of metal. I'm a damn college graduate.
Stugatz.
Bluetooth. HD radio. Satellite. I'll take AM, please. With Wolfman Jack talking through the static. And I'll crank the windows down so everybody can hear. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Yeah, Billy, I have a concern here as we onboard David Sampson here shortly, because I've got a problem. Like, we run the company, but Sampson runs the merch store. I said last week, and this is genuine, what Greg did to me didn't feel terribly fair, where he's texting me, hey, I want to put merch up on my store. Give me an answer. I just want to make sure it's cleared. My people are worried, but I'm just checking in. What should I do? And 27 hours later, I said, check with our COO. And then he said, nope, ship sailed. I already did it. And now things are for sale. And now I've got a problem where David Sampson's bothering me with shit I don't want to worry about, because LebitardAF.com is just a little place that was meant to pay some employees some extras, and it's turned into this ugly thing that's now run like a business.
But Greg was asking you, he wanted a quick answer. He made that very clear. Yes. 27 hours later does not work for Greg Cody.
Evidently not fast.
COB, Dan.
Gotta be more prompt.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so that's what happened, and we'll bring on David Sampson in just a second.
A what?
A second. Thank you, Roy. Oh. But Billy, Greg has had his foot up on the table in one of these rotten boat shoes that is...
neck shoes.
Same from the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new one. He finally got rid of the ones that were you buried in the backyard.
Right.
What were those? How old were those?
Oh, those were from the 70s, I think.
Deck Cody.
Yeah. Deck and Deckel. Mm-hmm. But... I have new ones that I got for Christmas, but I can't bear to part with these. So I haven't even begun breaking in the new ones yet.
But what's happening? With your leg? Because Billy was laughing at the way you limped in, because you weren't even talking bowling injury. You came in saying, hey, I'm not going to be able to make bowling.
Well, yet. No, questionable. He hasn't
I'm
ruled
questionable.
Himself out yet.
Right.
Day to day.
I'll throw a practice frame to see how it feels. When I tweaked my left hamstring, that's my plant foot.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that would disable me for a couple of weeks. But this is an injury that feels like it's in the back of my kneecap.
Oh, boy.
And it hurts when I sit and when I stand. I injured myself sitting on a couch.
That's great.
And I sat awkwardly, felt it right away. I had a fine night's sleep, but then when I woke up this morning, ouch. I literally said the word ouch, which I never say. It's like last week when I sneezed and the actual sound was achoo. When I woke up this morning, I stood up and I actually said the word ouch.
Are you sure you didn't say ow?
Does. No, I didn't say ouch.
Ouch.
No. I said ouch, and nobody was in the room to hear me.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Did it really happen?
Wow.
It did. It did really happen.
Well, this is the problem with the renegade parts of this business. Greg Cody's achoo now could be his intellectual property, because we haven't signed any contracts about how that sound gets used.
Yeah,
when
I said it.
We're a free media thing. All our sound is our own. Now, Greg Cody wants to fight about whether Hee Haw 3 is his or Hee Haw 3 is Metalark's.
Did you say we're getting paid for the merch store? I mean, are we getting paid for the merch store? David Sampson just sent me a text. He's very upset. He said, let's go. I don't have all day.
All right. Well, you guys have at it here. All right. Sampson, come on. Sampson. Sampson, just you're in charge of the merch store, so I've got chaos on my hands. What's happening now?
Well, the reason why you have chaos on your hands is that you asked me to do this, and then when I call you to tell you that something has to be done, you wash your hands of it, pretending that you're above it and you don't want to upset anyone in your employ. So you play both sides, and then you tell me that I have to do it, and the only way I can reach you is on air. So I needed to do it today. Greg,
strong language.
We go back a long way,
yes.
And I am sorry for what I'm about to do, but you violated our company policy, and no one's going to say anything, so I have to. And instead of telling you what you did, I was going to sing it to you, though you did not invite me to be a part of Hee Haw 3, so I merely need to deliver this message to you very clearly.
Is that what this is about?
No. This is about money. Clearly only money. Not fame, not fortune, just money.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Mr. Cote, it has come to our attention that you have been selling clothing merchandise using intellectual property owned by Metalark Media and Den Lebitard without proper authorization.
Mm-hmm. That's in dispute.
Oh, we haven't even started.
Okay.
This unauthorized use constitutes a violation of our copyright. Metalark Media and Den Lebitard hold exclusive rights to the intellectual property associated with our brand and content. Your sale of merchandise without our consent infringes upon these rights and undermines the integrity of our brand.
Badap.
We demand, Greg Coate, that you immediately cease and desist from selling any merchandise that utilizes MetalArc Media's IP, including, wait for it, Greg, but not limited to trademarks, logos, any proprietary materials. And you don't have 27 hours, my friend. You have 24 hours upon receipt of this message.
Yeah. And then you're going to have me arrested or what?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Failure to comply with this demand will result in further legal action to enforce our rights under copyright law. We reserve the right to pursue all available remedies, including seeking damages, including from Chris, should you be unable and unwilling to pay any financial harm that has been caused by your infringement.
Okay, so may I respond, or are you on a filibuster here? Do I have a chance to respond?
Oh, you will have to respond.
Good.
Can Chris respond?
Confirm in writing.
I'm eager to respond.
I'm ready to vote.
I object.
Confirm in writing within 24 hours of receipt of this message that you have ceased all sales of infringing merchandise and that you will refrain from any future unauthorized use of MetalArc Media's intellectual property.
Okay.
Sincerely, not Dan Lebatard. I asked him to sign this. He refused. Therefore, I'm signing it.
Yeah.
And I do have the authority under MetalArc Media's umbrella to sign this letter.
Okay, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and if you need it in writing, then grab a pen off your desk and write what I'm about to say. Two things. Number one, the phrase hee-haw is my intellectual property, and I am absolutely entitled to sell hee-haw merchandise on my website. I have an attorney who will back me up on that. Number two, an unnamed, high-ranking MetalArc executive, dare say ranked above the level of merchandise store clerk.
I did not approve this.
It was not Dan.
I did not approve this.
It was another unnamed, high-ranking executive.
There is no one higher than Dan.
You didn't give me time to respond. I respond in 27 hours.
Right.
You got to talk to the COO in charge of this. It's the second in command there.
All right. I have.
So it wouldn't have to go up to Skipper, the dumbass merch store. Wouldn't have to bother. Skipper is the most powerful man in sports. You're going to bother him with your merch? With he and haw?
Hee-haw three, my dap.
I have text proof. That I had at least tacit approval to go ahead with this.
TA.
And so between my intellectual property attorney siding with me and my high-ranking MetalArc executive in text form granting approval, you have no case, David Sampson, that kind of thing, so forth and so on.
So, Mr. Coate, I appreciate your prompt response, but you missed two very important things.
Yeah.
One, Lebatard AF has been selling hee-haw merchandise since its inception, and the reason why it is intellectual property
and they should cease and desist doing so.
Wow.
Well, okay. I would certainly encourage you and whatever South Florida lawyer you have.
You have 24 hours, David, to write back to Greg on that one.
Oh, he will not. Please send a cease and desist to John Skipper over our merchandise.
Company publicly fighting over like $400 in t-shirts.
What are we doing?
Great look.
Okay. We're going to hire lawyers on both sides to fight over a he and a ha.
Yeah, I don't have to hire a lawyer. I married one. Listen,
Dan, if you want to solve it, you can end this right now. Yeah. If you want to relinquish rights to your intellectual property to Greg and Greg Coate and the Greg Coate Show, by all means, just tell me. I don't have skin in the game because I make the same amount off the merch store as Stu Gotts. Zero.
Yeah.
You're the one who makes the money off the merch store.
No, I don't. As a matter of fact,
I'm talking to Dan.
I coined the phrase, I eat butt all the time. It turns up on a Lebatard Show merch store. My phrase, my intellectual property.
One of our biggest
I
sellers.
Got nothing.
Damage.
I didn't even get a free t-shirt.
A giant seller.
My hobby. Said that on this show.
Yes, thank you.
Please keep in mind, folks, that every word that's said when you have a MetalArc microphone is property of MetalArc.
Yeah. What if it's my...
All of the ideas and fun bits and intellectual property is owned by Dan.
What if I say Nike? Does MetalArc own Nike?
We can't keep calling.
Contextually, yes.
We cannot keep doing this thing of I eat butt all the time is property that's intellectual. I'm not going to have this creative company ruined by I eat butt all the time. Is that Metalarx or is that theirs? Is he his or is Haw theirs?
Hee-haw is my intellectual property, and I'm going to challenge the audience to rebel against the authoritarian David Sampson by going to the Greg Cody Show merch store or whatsitcalled.com.
It's whatever it's called. Dot com.
Whatever it's called. Whatever it's called. Dot com.
That is not allowed.
And
right?
Buying this merchandise.
Whatever it's called.
You cannot promote. You wrote it down.
Come on. Wait
show,
a minute.
Greg.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Greg now Cody. Dan's promoting
Greg,
it. David.
You can't be so bad at this. You cannot be so bad at
oh,
this.
Oh yes, he can.
That you ask your son the incompetent.
Right. We just coined the. We just bought the phrase a couple of days ago. I haven't memorized it yet.
Right.
I said, what's this? Whatever.com.
Did you buy it when you were sitting in that chair?
Whatever it's called.
It.
We're going to break your website right now.
I want sales of that show. I'm going to cut without even wanting to or needing to. I'm going to give Le Batard a 5% vigorish of all sales.
What are you doing?
Wait a minute. Video's
he's taking 100% of your sales.
Video is promoting their website instead of ours, David, because this is what
it's
happens.
It's outrageous. That has to be edited out. We are not promoting other people's websites. And Greg, now that you've been warned, any revenue that you get from this live moment on for a Hee-haw shirt, that actually just adds to our
damages. Do you know
how
much this is worth? Funny. Do you know how much this terrain is worth? You just wasted our time with promoting your website and causing me a problem with this guy because we're fighting over he and Haw. Come on. This offends Mike Ryan.
And it should.
I mean,
I don't know who this Tacit is guy who's just giving approval left and right.
Okay. It's a high-ranking executive.
Is it time to vote?
I'm not
going
to throw him under the bus.
You're welcome, Greg.
I will privately show the text to Billy. To those in my coterie.
How's this vote going to go? I'm just going to have full-scale employee revolt.
I don't know how the election's going to go.
It's fixed.
Wow.
Do you know how hard it is, Samson, to enter a dispute? Stugat says, sight unseen, I side with Greg Cody, and he leaves the dispute feeling like he's never won bigger.
I'm the little guy.